If you have ever been curious about Dungeons & Dragons, or the people who play it, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Ready, Set, Roll Insight, where you will learn how to be a better player and what drew people to the game in the first place. Now, join us for Insight with your host, Daniel Wells.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Ready, Set, Roll Insight. I'm your host, Daniel Wells, and with me today is the man of the Ministry of Dice. Yes, it is a very high position in Parliament.
That's right, one of the Queen's very own ministries.
Yes, Chris, how you doing?
That's right. I'm very good, thank you, Daddy. I'm very well today. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing. You know, honestly, I'm doing pretty good. I did actually injure my back carrying a TV stand up from the basement to the top, and just is what it is. You start to get older, things start to not work as well anymore. I'm getting close to 30 now.
Oh, come on. Don't even.
No, I also have sports injuries that compound it a little bit. So.
Yeah, but, for sure, man, for sure.
None of you would probably know who Chris is, but he, unless you went and watched his D&D, his Dice Masters retrospective on Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes. That's right, yeah.
We did, so far I've only seen three parts. Is there a fourth?
That's right, three parts. Yeah. No, well, we've not recorded 4 and 5 yet. I was meaning to speak to you about that.
Oh, we'll get that scheduled later then. Three parts of a Dice Masters retrospective on Dungeons and Dragons, where we were his experts on D&D.
Indeed.
Thought went very well.
I enjoyed it very much, man. Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. I feel like I've got a bit of imposter syndrome returning the favor coming on yours, because the reason I called upon you guys was because, for anyone who doesn't know, the game Dice Masters is a collectible card game with a dice element, and there's various intellectual properties that are released sets, and one of the sets is Dungeons & Dragons, of course, and I have minimal experience, or I say minimal, probably more than the layman, but and so I felt like for some of the videos I was doing as part of my Ministry of Dice content on the Dungeons and Dragons related stuff, I needed a little bit more clout, and that's where your big brains came in.
You know, I find the term big brains kind of hilarious, because sometimes it doesn't actually matter the size of the brain, it's how many wrinkles it has, because it's like a muscle in of itself.
Sure.
So to get this interview started off, I just want to ask you, what got you into tabletop gaming?
Oh, wow, yeah.
What was the start of Chris's tabletop gaming adventures?
The beginning of the journey. So like many, I suspect, my first sort of taste of gaming, tabletop gaming in the more kind of dictionary definition, would have been in the late 80s. Just to place myself in terms of age, you whinging about your 30-year-old back over there. With Steve Jackson and Ian Livingstone's, fighting fantasy books.
Oh,
I could tell the look on your face is making me wonder if you're familiar with those or not.
I have recognition of Steve Jackson because I played a lot of Munchkin.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I do not know those books.
Well, so these were, you'll know the concept. These are, they were adventure books. So the first couple of pages of the book, you would write up a character using a D6 and a little character sheet that was in the first couple of pages, rolling up some stats. The first ever one was called Warlock of Firetop Mountain. And you would read the first chapter, and then at the conclusion of the first chapter, you would be given a couple of choices, a few decisions to make as the character. And the way the narrative would unfold and the sort of role, the kind of solitaire role-playing element of it would be, it would say, turn to page, if you want to fight the dragon, turn to page 10. If you want to run away from the dragon, turn to page 15. If you want to use your, wand of dragon protection, go to page 20. And so you'd maneuver through the book using using this mechanic, and then you'd have various points within it where you'd battle a creature and you'd have to use the character that you rolled up at the outset. And I played those at a very young age. And that would probably be the beginning. But then a little later, as is, I don't know about from your perspective in the US, but your listeners are probably realizing that I'm in the UK, but from the sound of my voice. And Games Workshop is a huge operation over here. And many, many gamers, sort of beyond the things like Steve Jackson, Ian Livingston books, and that's the kind of tabletop inroad. So there used to be little Warhammer miniature clubs at schools. My father used to buy us models. He and my brother are painters. I'm not much of a painter, but that's kind of where it came into the household. And I started playing a few of their games. I was more into the smaller skirmishy type stuff. And then probably where things went really hardcore was in the early 90s when I started playing Magic the Gathering. Oh. I went really headfirst into collectible card games. Magic the Gathering, Spellfire, Jayad was one, the Decipher CCGs, which was the, you know, like Star Wars and Star Trek properties that they had out back then in the 90s. And I played collectible card games almost exclusively then for a good 10 years, you know. So that's where it started out. And then as I got a bit older and I got married and, you know, found myself a lovely lady and started having a family, I became more board gamey and looking for things that I could play, you know, in my little 2.4 children setup.
Is that how you got into Dice Masters?
Well, Dice Masters, I would probably say, is more of a continuation of the collectible card game type stuff. So, but the thing that ground my collectible card game love to a halt was, yeah, absolutely. That's exactly where you knew exactly where I was going with that was budget. So, when I got to 18, I went to university, you know, and aside from the fact that I was probably chasing girls and drinking beer, you know. Used to be on the. Have you ever heard of Snakebite and Black?
I have not.
No, it's where you take a pint glass and you put half a cider in it, half a lager in it, and then are you familiar? Have you ever? I don't think you guys have this out there. It's called Blackcurrant Cordial. Is that?
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to think what your US equivalent is.
Rum?
It's like a cordial. It's like a fruit flavoring that you put in very small amounts to. So you'd have this cider. Lager, anyway. So I was chasing girls and drinking snake bites and blacks, and also paying my rent and trying to get through my degree, and so money was tight, and that just ground everything to a halt. And plus a couple of my favorites, I used to love Decipher. That was the publisher, their Star Wars CCG, and they got cancelled, and Lucasfilm sold the license on. So just a variety of reasons kind of ground it for a halt. So it was a couple of years where I didn't really do much gaming. I probably spent more time on my Xbox and my Nintendo. Well, what would have been an N64 back then. However, when I did kind of creep back into the world of gaming, I started making my own money, you know, and got a job and a career. Dice Masters, I started looking for a new collectible card game, and I tried some of the Fantasy Flight games, you know, their LCG stuff, like Game of Thrones and Star Wars and such like, but... I don't like Fantasy Flight games at all. There may be some listeners who love them and their proposition, but they just feel really money grubbing to me. Really dirty and money grubbing. You know what I mean? In the way that they go about putting their games out. And Dice Masters is really budget. Plus, I'm a superhero nerd, big comic book fan. Been reading comic books for probably since about the same time as I started reading fantasy books. And so I was that's kind of how I got into Dice Masters, was looking for a sort of budget replacement for the Magic the Gathering in my life, which I gave up a long time beforehand, but also because I was a big fan of superheroes.
And Dice Masters had a lot of comic elements to it, right? Like it was based on a lot of comic book series, like the Teen Titans retrospective,
absolutely,
which I watched on your channel.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. So there's Marvel Dice Masters, there's DC Dice Masters, there's, of course, Dungeons & Dragons Dice Masters, which is how we got to know each other. There's a Yu-Gi-Oh! Set. There's a couple of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles special releases that they did. There was a Warhammer 40,000, again, a little one-off release. And so they've got all these kind of WizKids, the publishers, have got these licensing agreements with all sorts of different organizations. And so they've been putting out these little sets. The heart of it, though, is Marvel and DC. It's the comic book stuff that drives the game a great deal. In fact, Marvel, out of all the release sets over the 6 years that the game's been available, has been the biggest presence out of them all, you know. I think that's one of the beautiful things about the game is that whatever your nerdy thing is,
it's got something,
you know, absolutely. And one of the things that I often say is that one of the reasons I started playing the game because I like superheroes, but I fell in love with the game because of that weird, wacky, imaginative what if moment, you know, where me and my mate Andy, who's the guy who does the Ministry of Dice stuff with me, and some of my old gaming buddies, you know, what would, you know, a necromancer and his little army of undead, how would Captain America and Wolverine handle that? You know, let's just, you make an Avengers team, I'll make my little D&D necromancer, you know, Valindra Sadomancer team, and we'll go for it and see what happens.
If you've read the Marvel Zombies comics, you know exactly what happens when Marvel meets undead.
Well, true story, yeah.
Not good. It is not good.
No, absolutely not.
So, has one of the most brutal deaths by Sandman I've ever seen in a Marvel comic.
It's a good run. In fact, Marvel Dice Masters had a small set of Marvel Zombies like specials that was in some of the earlier sets. So, yeah.
So... let's get into the other big topic, because you mentioned you did Ministry of Dice with your friend. Mm-hmm. What got you to... Is there only like two of you that are the main producers?
Yes, that's right. There's a small sort of network of individuals that help us out, but we are the personalities, if you will. Although, you know, many would argue that I'm the guy.
The face.
Yeah. Andy's just my sidekick.
So how did... How did these fields get tilled and come about to start spreading the fruit of Ministry of Dice?
Yeah, so it's an interesting kind of story, really. So I have a history as a blogger. Mm-hmm. I used to do, to really get under the skin. This feels like a Chris, this is your life kind of thing. Many years ago, I was made redundant. I think you would say laid off.
Yeah.
In the US, laid off. Yes. The company that I was working for was in financial straits, and so they let me go. Oh. And we call it is redundancy over here. You've been made redundant. It's not that you haven't been sacked because you're rubbish. You know, it's that the company can't keep you on anymore. And so I had a period of unemployment. My daughter had only just been born, so I became a bit of a stay-at-home dad, and but my wife was a bit concerned about my sanity. Wow. I needed something to something occupational to keep me. I'd start job hunting in the morning. I'd have sent my emails and made my phone calls by 10 a.m. and then I was just loafing around for the rest of the day, you know, and nothing to do. So I started doing some blogging, and I was just writing stories about being a stay-at-home dad and funny things that my kids used to do, and little odd movie reviews, or you know, complaining about the Lost finale and stuff like that. And so I had a bit of experience blogging, but then when I got a job, that I kind of put that to bed and that was done. And then Dice Masters came into my life, and I really, really fell head over heels in love with the game. I absolutely so passionate for the game. Mm-hmm. And there was another community site called the Reserve Pool at the time, but the focus was so heavily on North America. You know, the tournaments that took place in North America, the release schedule in North America, the player community in North America, North American stores that were, you know, had player groups. It was all, you know, America and Canada. There was a lot of Canadian stuff and some a little bit of North Mexico. And so I just was feeling a bit frustrated that my perspective, like, that's great, but when's the European release date of that set? What's the delay? How far behind are we? And, you know, we've got players over here. Hello. We had a national championship too, you know, and that kind of thing.
Right.
So I just started writing on their blog site to begin with, belligerently, really, just to be like, you know,
Come on, bring it this way. Come on.
Yeah, there's another country over here. Yeah, absolutely. And just to attract the attention of, and we had a lot of trouble getting hold of, you know, promotional products. You know, they'd release a set of promo cards or a set of prize cards that were used over in North America, and we struggled to get our hands on them over here in the UK and stuff. So I was just trying to raise the profile, selfishly, really, because I wanted those cards over here, and I thought if maybe WizKids would pay attention if there was a bit more news and information about the UK. And somebody just one day on that site said to me, why don't you set up your own thing? So I did, you know, and didn't rather unthinkingly just sort of tumbled into it. And it was just tournament reports and team lists and, you know, European information. You know, I used to pester the distributors and the publisher to say, when's the European release dates? Can I have that information too, please? And, so writing stuff that would be of interest to people on this side of the world. And at a UK national championship in 2017, I met Andy, who's the kind of the second voice of our podcast.
Yeah.
Although, as you well know, Danny, I do a lot of the video stuff on my own. And Andy won. He was the champion. And I said, oh, why would you like to do a little diary, you know, a tournament report for the website? And he said, oh, no, I'm not much of a writer, really. I said, we'll do it because I want to get you in on it. But that just led to a conversation of, you know, if you're not much of a writer, maybe we'll sit down and record something. And then we started talking podcasts, and we both realized we both love podcasts. I listen to an awful lot of podcasts. And one thing led to another, and we just dove into it. And so then I had a website and a podcast, you know. And then people started saying to me, well, to us, I should say, because we used to talk on the podcast about the teams we were building and the games we were playing. And I'd write articles about the teams I was building, the games I was playing. And people would say, I'd love to see that team. So then we set up a YouTube channel and just started recording ourselves playing the games to show the teams off that we talked about in the articles or talked about. And so it just sort of, you know,
just went up from there.
Yeah. And I think the key thing is, at the heart of all that, we both discovered, Andy and I, that we just really enjoy doing it. It's fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's just fun. It's just fun putting stuff out there and having a, admittedly, a small community built around us. I wouldn't say the Ministry of Dice is, you know, shut up, sit down size or anything, you know. But we had a small community of Dice Masters fans, both here and worldwide, that formed around us. And they correspond with us and they interact with us on our social media. And that's just super fun and interesting. Different people with different worldviews from all over the four corners of the globe, you know, and it was just fun. So we just went, well, what next? Well, let's do more with the YouTube channel, which is when I started doing more stuff like you helped me out with. Mm-hmm. And it just snowballed and snowballed. So in answer to your question, it just sort of happened.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's kind of great, though, because if you would have done it with more of the mindset of let's do this as a job sort of deal, mm-hmm. I don't think you'd have as much fun with it, and it might not have lasted as long as it. When did you start the podcast?
Well, so funnily enough, so I don't know when you're putting this episode out, but we're recording in November right now. This month is the 5-year anniversary of the website.
What day? So,
it's the back end. I got the email from the domain registration saying you're due another year's renewal. And I think it was the 20th or 21st of November, something like that. But I didn't really start putting content up till maybe January, February the following year. So it's coming up 5 years on the website, on the blog. The podcast celebrated its third anniversary. It's third birthday in June, I want to say off the top of my head. We had a little birthday celebration around June. And the YouTube channel's probably coming up on 2 years. So, all told.
Well, the inside episodes get released the 15th of every month. So it's coming up 12 days, probably would be close to around the same time that you're talking about. Again, it's really impressive because I don't think, again, like I said, if you treated it like a job, this website wouldn't have been up for 5 years. If you would have treated it like a job, the podcast wouldn't be up for 3 years. And somebody in there?
Yeah, it's my little girl. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, the podcast.
Danny could tell that you came in.
I watch a lot of streamers who
get to bed. Sorry, Danny.
I watch a lot of streamers who have kids, right? And they, you can tell whenever they give the look of like, you're not supposed to be in here.
So I was on a work phone call the other day. We have a desk in one of the bedrooms upstairs, and my wife needed something out of the bedroom, and she opened the door, the bedroom door, but then came in on hands and knees and snuck behind me and across the room. But of course, everybody on the call saw her. And they could tell that I was like this, you know. I don't know if this will stay in your final edit, but what I just did then, folks, I just looked over my shoulder and down at like what is she doing, kind of thing. It was hilarious.
Well, I'm very much hoping because we're planning on starting a YouTube channel ourselves called Ready Set Roll Entertainment, where we're thinking about putting like the video cast version of Insight on the YouTube channel.
Sure.
And also do like live action stuff.
Great.
First video.
Get a lopping.
Well, first video idea is like make characters of our real life selves. So that means like doing a lot of weightlifting and stuff to get the strength scores. And...
Won't you need to shrink? You're playing a dwarf right now, aren't you?
No, I'm talking about me, myself personally.
Oh, okay.
Make a character based on my real life stats. Obviously, the IQ tests. Obviously, the IQ test isn't going to be great because online IQ tests aren't actually certified. So you can get like a 200 IQ and it's not actually 200 IQ. Just you answer the questions. But back to topic.
What were we saying? Yeah, what were we talking about? Well, sorry,
before talking about how...
So rudely interrupted.
talking about how your hobby became so much more for you and you were able to push towards like increasing awareness for Dice Masters in the UK and in Europe. And has it like really helped all the pushback you've given?
Well, you know, I mean, you'd have to ask the player base here in the United Kingdom, I suppose, really. I like to think we have. I mean, one thing that has changed very significantly for me over the 5 years of the site and all the additional content stuff that we've been doing is that I have a relationship now with the game's publisher, WizKids. Mm-hmm. I speak to their marketing team and I speak to the product manager over there. I've met them a couple of times face to face at conventions here in the United Kingdom. You know, we're going to be there. We've got a stand. Come say hi, kind of thing. And I've done face-to-face interviews with them. They now, I was talking about release delays and, you know, before I could do a set review, I had to wait until the UK release date. Well, they're now sending me review products at the same time as the North American release, which just indicates to me that they recognize I've got an international audience, I suppose, really, even though I'm UK-based. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're taking much more of an interest. You know, when we have, obviously we haven't had one in a while, but when we have a large scale UK based event like our UK national championships, or last year we had a European national championship, mm-hmm. not a national championship, but a European continental championship.
Yeah.
They wanted, you know, when I wrote about it, they were saying, get us the team list, tell us what the thing is. And they were interested in my perspective. So I've gone from being just a guy who blogs about it with a bit of an opinion saying, we're over here, to now having a relationship with the publisher and stuff. And that can be fickle sometimes, that relationship, because I don't know if I'm financially benefiting them a great deal. I have a niche audience. You'll only really engage in my content if you're already a fan of the game and you know a bit about the community,
right?
That's certainly paid off, and that's very fulfilling that the publisher of the game knows me by name and interacts with me, and I've met Eric Lang on a couple of occasions and stuff, which is Mike Elliott, which is really cool. Who are the games designers? Although you'll probably know those names as a gamer yourself, maybe Danny, you might have come across some Eric Lang stuff before.
I have come across Eric Lang stuff before, that's awesome though. That is really impressive.
Yeah, sure. And I'm also a tenacious sort. If someone's listening to this and it's, you know, and this aspect of, because I'm not bringing much D&D stuff to a D&D chat, but one thing I will say is that you're absolutely right. You have to enjoy it. You have to love it and do it for the right reasons. I think there's something about ambition, you know, that you have to be, well, thinking about what next, what can I do more to personally improve and to technically improve to make what I'm making better, mm-hmm. in order to get increased satisfaction from, you know, that satisfaction you get from the finished article when you've done it and you hit publish and you're like, yeah, that was a sweet piece of work I did there. I'm well chuffing myself for that. There has to be some element of, you know, limelight. You want to be the center of attention. I definitely think there's a bit of something of that rock and roll frontman arrogance that you got to have. You'll know all about that, of course.
Well, you got the hair for it.
You know it, brother. You know it. Yeah. Although this is actually just lockdown hobo fashion right now. This isn't anything to do with... It's not,
what are you talking about? That's the rock style look. Lockdown hobo. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It is normally long. Yeah. I'm doing a, you know, it's that kind of British rocker look, mm-hmm. definitely. But it's even more out of hand right now. So, there has to be a bit of something about that as well. That you got to, there's a confidence. And what I would say is that if you want to make, anyone can make content, anyone can do what I do, really. You know, it takes a bit of practice to get your nuts and bolts tightened up around getting your audio levels right. Or, you know, just before we started this, we were talking about making sure we've got our contingency recording in place. And yeah, absolutely. And stuff like that. And some of the core basics. But anyone can do it. The difference is the breaking through the barrier of that anxiety of taking the first step. And then remembering that content is about entertainment as much as information, and that people will be looking to you for something more. You know, being knowledgeable on your subject is not sufficient. Nor is just, I've seen lots of people making content, you know, we get it in the world of Dice Masters where they're just regurgitating what other content creators do, but they're not pushing the envelope or growing as an individual as a result of it. They're doing it because they want, you know, because they're devoid of innovation and they're just an imagination. They're just seeing something going on over there and therefore they're just pilfering it, you know?
Right.
So you have to have that passion, but you also have to have something about personal growing as an individual through it as well. And finding pleasure in something that's not your job. That's giving you it's the same as why people learn to play musical instruments or paint, I suppose. It's the joy of the finished article.
Awesome. Well, Chris,
that was a bit of a messy answer, that.
Well, that was amazing. We are coming to the end of the interview, though.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been almost 30 minutes since we started.
No way.
Yeah, it's been almost 30 minutes since we started the interview. And time goes by fast whenever you have a good guest on. And I get to listen to all this cool stuff.
Stop.
Well, I think that's something that I really get to enjoy, though, as like doing this interview thing and even doing the podcasting stuff in general, is I get to meet a lot of cool people who do different things and have different approaches to things. Like, you may not be a part of D&D as much as the next guy, but because through the D&D retrospective on Dice Masters, we were able to meet you and get to discuss more on something I find really cool, another section of tabletop gaming I never knew about. But at the end of the show, me and my guests do give a piece of insight to people, something they can take away from the show and take forward into their next month or their next month actually would be very good, or into any of their tabletoping hobbies. Your last little segment there was honestly a lot of good insight. But if you had another piece of insight you wanted to share with anybody?
Right. Yeah, I do, tabletop gaming wise. So one thing that in the world of Dice Masters, because it is such a small niche game, we're always very interested in teaching new players how to play and attracting new players to the game. And one thing that I see happening a lot, not just with Dice Masters, but with games in general, is that when you're teaching a player to play, or in an instruction manual, so publishers and game designers listen to, we neglect to point out what the purpose of the game is. It drives me mad. We neglect to, you know, the first sentence out your mouth should be, right, this is a player versus player game. You have 20 life. I have 20 life. And I'm going to try and get you down to zero. And you're going to try and get me down to zero. That is the objective of the game. That's how the game concludes. That's how you know who wins and loses. You know? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, in your world of D&D, there will be a, you know, it's a dungeon crawl. We're going to there'll be an objective that the DM sets you at the outset, and you need to communicate that clearly and upfront what's going on. And I see too many people who get bogged down in the mechanics and learning in the game in a chronological order. Start with the end. Always start with the end. Well, where are you going? What's the finish line look like? And then come back to the beginning.
Well, with that was a great piece of insight, by the way. With D&D books, there's actually a line in the books themselves that say, this is just a guide. This is just to be used to create your characters, but have fun. That's the most important. That's the most important thing that you can ever take away from these interviews, from us talking about Dungeons & Dragons, you all listening us to the live plays, watching Ministry of Dice do their Dice Masters playthroughs, their live streams. It's all about having fun. And you'd be surprised how a little bit of your fun can translate to a whole lot going forward into anything you do. Just always have fun. And that's my insight.
Yeah. There you go. So I could go for another half an hour on just that subject alone, Danny.
Definitely. Well, Chris, thank you once again. Chris, as always, is from the Ministry of Dice, as well as, I didn't know you had a website or a podcast, so what are those?
Yeah, so the website is called BritRoller6.com. That's BritRoller6.com. It's very Dice Masters focused at the moment. The other gaming stuff is very minimal there. The podcast is called The Ministry of Dice also. We use the same brand for the podcast as we do the YouTube content. Again, that's Dice Masters focused. Our other stuff we call MOD Extra. That's spelled MODXTRA, and that's where you'll find more of our kind of console gaming, tabletop gaming, just nerdy stuff. We talk films, we talk TV shows, graphic novel trade paperbacks. That's just where all our random stuff goes. So if you want Dice Masters, you want BritRoller6.com and the Ministry of Dice. If you want some of the other kind of side of my nerd dad life, then you're looking at MOD Extra, Ministry of Dice Extra.
Nice. And as always, all those links will be in the details and down below in our various podcasting platforms that we go off of. I don't know if we'll be able to name Ready, Set, Roll that as a YouTube name, because we might get sued by the artist who made Ready, Set, Roll the song. We've been battling contention for that for 2 years.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Do it. Yeah. Do it. I mean, I've obviously got the added advantage that I'm appointed by the Queen. So yeah. We're actually a much needed Ministry of Dice here in the United Kingdom, probably more important than the Ministry of Transport and Commerce and Health and all that, you know, the Ministry of Dice. So it does help. But yeah, you'll be fine, mate. You'll be fine. Ready, set, roll.
Well,
that's made me chuckle.
Again, thank you for coming on, Chris. And as always, thank you all for listening to another episode of Ready, Set, Roll Insight. Goodbye.
Bye.